microwaves were going to explode. But having worked on microwaves for many years at that point, I knew that that wasn't going to happen. So I didn't worry about that. I didn't take a hold of any food, anything like that. I didn't go forward. I've got too many keys in my pocket. But one thing I did do is I kept a hold of the Lord. We're coming into a time in this world was a very dangerous time. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know, is this going to be the year that Jesus comes? I don't know. We see the signs. The signs of the times are here. The scripture tells us in the book of Daniel that the Antichrist would seek to change times and laws, and it will be given into his hand. And we're seeing times and laws change. Amen. Whoever thought that we would see some of the laws passed this year or last year that would be passed by so many states, so many countries also. Times are changing. Amen. And it's always a time, New Year's, is always a great time just to sit down and evaluate yourself. And when I say yourself, I mean myself too. I'm not, you know, Paul said, not that I've already grasped, because I haven't already grasped. None of us are really saved until we go through the pearly gates. Come on. The Bible says that he that does what to the end, the same shall be saved? Endures. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm not enduring getting to church today. It's just weather wasn't bad. I don't endure when I have breakfast, and I'm not having breakfast right now. I don't endure. I took my lovely wife out the other day. We haven't been there since the 10th anniversary banquet. I took her out for New Year's Eve to the Chart House for a little bit of a dinner, very nice and relaxing. I didn't have to endure that. Amen. But I did have to do some things Friday morning after it snowed. I had to do a little endurance then. But endurance is not a one-time deal. Endurance, when you go to become a sports player, you don't endure one workout session. Amen. You don't endure one exercise session. You don't endure one bad coach or one player that's a pain in the neck. Endurance means you're just going to go on, and you're 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 going to endure. If you do not endure, the scripture says, you will not be saved. Some will fall away. Some will fall by the wayside. How about you? What will you do? And New Year's is just a fantastic time because everybody starts to make New Year's resolutions. This is a good time to do the 21 days of prayer and fasting. New Year's are over. Everybody's feeling a little guilty about having overindulged. So they feel, well, maybe it's good for me to fast. And, of course, you're not fasting to lose weight. Come on. You're not fasting to lose weight. You're fasting to seek the face of the Lord. Can anybody tell me what that famous scripture says in 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14? And I guess you could put that up. You can bring it up, Brother Tyler, the King James. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14. Can anybody tell me what that says? Brother Rick, you know what it says? I know you know what it says. Go ahead. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and do what? And pray. And do what? Seek my face. Then will I hear from heaven. I don't know about you, but personally, I don't really want to play church. You know, I think I would go crazy in some places. They never have anything new happening. They never have anybody getting delivered. They just go there and they preach a maintenance. But we need to have a move of God in this church. Amen. A move of God of revival, which is for us, and a move of God of evangelism, which is for others, because we have something that people need. Amen. They need the Holy Ghost. Some people have gone their entire life and they have never heard that they could receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They've been told either they don't know about it, or they've been told it's crazy, or they've been told it's not for us today. But God, if you've never received the Holy Ghost, God can pour the Spirit out upon you. Amen. And you can do like the Bible says, speak with tongues and prophesy. Born again, the Scripture talks about the water and the Spirit. We have a message to preach. When you talk to your friends, how many of them think that you're nuts? Many of them think that you're nuts. And I've told this story before, and I'll tell it again. Years ago, there was a man that went to Africa, and he was a shoe salesman, and he called up, or he got back and wired. This is before the internet and stuff. He wired back and said, get me out of here. Nobody needs shoes. Nobody wears shoes down here. So they took him. They sent another salesman down there, and he said, send more shoes. Nobody has shoes down here. Which way do you look at it? Do you look at it as, Lord, send me another soul, because they don't have salvation here? Send me another person to work with. Lord, lay some soul upon my heart. Or do you look at it as, people just don't want God? Amen. I look at it the second way. Send us souls, Lord. I can't do anything about what people do with what God gives them. But I can do something about trying to give somebody else the way to have an experience with God. Our theme for this message, the title for this message is Direction. And I kind of like that I put that together. I didn't do all the artwork. I just kind of chopped it up and pieced it together, different stuff that I saw. So in essence, I did, but it really didn't do it quite like that. Direction, 2014. His ways or my ways? His ways or my ways? Now, where were you January 5th of 2013? I'm talking about your walk with God. I'm talking about my walk. I know where I was. I was on the couch. I was zoned out. I was on drugs because I had that cut in my hand and all that stuff, and I was in recovery mode. I know exactly where I was. Where were you? What was your walk with the Lord like? My walk with the Lord was a little bit lean then. You can't concentrate. You're in pain. But I bounced back. Amen. Bounced back. Isn't that what Paul said? He said, but I press forward. What do you do when you press? It's kind of like going through a crowd. Y'all been New York City crowds? You ever been to the Thanksgiving Day parade? I had somebody talk us into going to that a few years ago, and now I know I never went there. It's just a press. You got to press your way through. It's the same thing with your walk with the Lord. You've got to press your way through. You've got to go against the obstacles. You've got to go against the sins. You've got to go against the weights. You've got to go against the naysayers, the people that tell you, no, you don't want to do that. What are you doing something like that for? You know, and my advice for many years has been, if you've got a problem, why do you go to sinners and ask them what to do? They're not going to tell you to live for God. Amen? If you want somebody to encourage you, don't counsel with people that don't live for God. We need to do more counseling right here. With the Lord. Then right here. Isn't that what we can fall into? You know, I just can't handle it anymore. The devil, bless his holy name, he just beat me up so bad. Where things are going so rotten, did this phone disconnect again? They're not going to tell you to live for God. The counseling that you need is either godly counsel, and many times, let me tell you something, you can get more counseling on your knees in prayer than you can get even from your pastor. Amen? You know what I'm going to start doing this year? The next time somebody asks me what to do, and they come back and having the same problem, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to ask them, have you done what I said the last time? And if they say no, you know what I'm going to tell them? Go do what we talked about. Come on. When you get godly counsel, listen to godly counsel. Amen. The Scripture says, and I'll wax a little bit bold here today. The Scripture says pastors are sent by God. Amen. Pastors are sent after God's own heart. So if you get counsel from your pastor and it's from God's heart, why do you ignore it? I don't know where that's coming from, but the Lord knows. The Lord knows. So what was your walk with God like in 2013? Have you made progress? If you made progress, you're doing all right. But how about which way have you gone? Have you gone sideways? Have you made no progress? Christianity, let me tell you something. Christianity is the only religion that you stop growing when you die. I don't care if you live for God a year and you're growing in the Lord or 50 years, you're still going to grow in God. And if you're not growing in God, there's something wrong. Amen. If we don't grow in the Lord, there's something wrong. So where were you last year and where are you now? What direction are you taking? Direction is everything. Were you closer to the Lord or farther away? Go to the next scripture, Brother Tayo, Proverbs 14 and 14. If you want to know, if you want a good indicator of your spiritual status, here it is right here. It's the perfect scripture. The backslider in heart shall be filled with God's ways. No, that's not what it says. It says the backslider in heart is going to be full of themselves. Full of their own ways. And I realize I'm preaching to the choir today. You're here. You've made an effort. You've gone out and the weather's not the nicest today. But you've made an effort to be in the house of the Lord. And I commend you. Everybody, take your hand. Pat somebody on the back. Go ahead, Becky. Pat Jared on the back. You feel better, Jared? Yeah. So I commend you for being in the house of the Lord. But we can let our ways take us away from His ways. We can be so full of ourselves and so full of our own agenda that we're a backslider in heart. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself. What are you today? And I know it only looks like it's kind of talking about the same thing, but it's really talking about that Spirit of God inside of him. Where are you today? What are you full of today? Are you full of your own ways or are you full of God's ways? Have you, in 2013, have you allowed self to rule? Have you allowed yourself to become more full of yourself? Sooner or later, if you don't get a hold of that, it causes a person to walk away from God. Amen? Praise the Lord. It tells you the direction of yourself, of which way you're going. One of the reasons that we have altar service is we want to give ourselves a time to empty ourselves in the presence of the Lord. Amen. You say, well, I'd rather empty myself when nobody's looking, do you? Come on, be honest. Be honest. Do you empty yourself when nobody's there? There's something about being in the presence of the Lord, Brother Benny, when the power of God comes down and the conviction of the Spirit moves on us. There's something about praying, kneeling at the altar, as the old song says, and I wish we had altar benches. I may talk to them about that this year. Is you're all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Or is there something in yourself that you hold back? We're going to have communion in a little bit. We're going to do it a little bit differently today. I don't think I'll preach too awful long. I said think because I don't want to be a liar. Feels like it's been a long time since I preached. It's only been a month, and I'm feeling good right now. Feel the presence of the Lord. Amen. Feels good. So where is your heart today? All this, this is one of those days I didn't even study again. This last night, when we were at prayer, God began to talk these things into my heart. No computer notes. We put the scriptures up there, which is awesome. But this is in my handwriting, which I can barely read anymore because I don't write. All I do is type. Anybody else like that? Go to the next slide, next scripture, would you, Brother Tayo? Isaiah 29:13. The scripture speaks about this. Inasmuch as these people draw near to me with their mouth, they honor me with their lips, but they've removed their heart far from me. Where is your heart today? Where is your heart? Do you feel God tugging at it? When you feel the tugging of the Lord, I wish I had one of the babies here today, especially my granddaughter. I could tug at her and she'd be pulling away from me. She's just at that age. Amen. You ever do that to God? The Lord reaches and you pull back. Maybe Rod can show us something. Come here, Rod. Come on. Come on over here. I'm going to be God. You're going to be Rod. And I want you to kneel down. I want you to lift up your hands and just pull back as I say, come on, Rod. I want to take you. Come on, Rod. I want to take you forward. And you're fighting with God saying, I'm kind of happy the way I am, Lord. Kind of happy the way I am. But Lord, why don't you bless me anyway? Why don't you let me feel your presence anyway, God? What are you calling me to, Lord? It's too much for me, God. Don't you know I don't have the time, God? Don't you know, Lord, it's just too much that you're asking of me, God? And finally, the battle's over. Thank you, brother. How about you? Read the scripture. Do you draw near with your mouth only? Do you just give lip service to God? Only you know. I may have the gift of discernment at times, but I can only see things that God shows me. Amen? If you think I'm pretty smart sometimes, believe me, it's not because I'm pretty smart. It's because of the gifts of the Spirit. So examine yourself. And we're going to do that in a little while. Isn't that what the Scripture calls for communion? Examine yourself. It's a great thing to do the first Sunday of the year. And hopefully I won't ask for a number of hands because I know I didn't do the best job of promoting it through December. Hopefully there are others besides the few that I know that are fasting and seeking the face of the Lord today. In a time of fasting and seeking God's face and examining ourselves is what we need. Well, we could have a great program. We could have great singers. But let me tell you something. There's people that have great programs and they've got great singers and they don't have the presence of God and they're not going to be saved. Doesn't the scripture talk about that? Let me read a scripture. Since the Lord is the one that put these things in the book, Revelations. Book of Revelations here. Let's start out perhaps, I'm not sure if it's 2 or 3. You just have to give me a second to get there. Revelations chapter 3, the first 5 verses. Revelations chapter 3. Let's give Brother Tayo just a chance to get there. He's talking to the church of Sardis here. Revelations chapter 3, the first 5 verses. And somebody say, praise the Lord. Amen. You know, I've done many fasts, and as I get older, Brother Soon, I don't really like to, my flesh doesn't like it, I'll be honest. Doesn't like it. But the Spirit loves it. The flesh is like, what are you doing to me? But the Spirit is like, oh God, I need you. Revelations chapter 1, 3, excuse me, chapter 3 and verse 1. And to the angel of the church of Sardis write, these things saith he that has the 7 spirits of God and the 7 stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and thou art dead. You understand what the scripture says here? You may know of something and you say, man, that's powerful. That's anointed. Does God think the same thing? We get to thinking about, you know, power and glory and crowds, and this is what it's all about. My friend, you have no clue what God is doing. Yes, He can work in great crowds. But when He took the prophet Elijah out, he up onto the mountain, He made a great earthquake, and the scripture says the Lord was not in it. He made a great wind, and the Lord was not in it. I believe an earthquake, the Lord was not in it. But then Elijah heard the still, small voice of God, and God was in that. When you're in the place where it thinks they have life, do you feel the presence of God? Do you have that still, small voice, or are you just juking and you're jiving? Come on. I know your works. You've got a reputation of being alive, but you're dead. Go ahead, next slide. Wake up! I was, somebody sent me a little video, Arnold Schwarzenegger. Words to help your diet. He gets on, he says, put that cookie down now! Would you look at your neighbor and just shout, wake up! Come on. That's not shouting. Come on. Would you wake up? Huh? You haven't said it loud enough where I can wake up. Wake up! And put the cookie down. Wake up! And get and strengthen. That's what happens when I take my glasses off. I don't know how I got in this bad habit, but strengthen what remains and is about to die. So you see what the scripture says here? It says that you can have a reputation that you're alive and be about to die. Am I right, Brother Rod? How about you? You know what the scripture says, that Jesus went to Peter said to Peter, come here, Rod. I'm going to pick on you again. You know the scripture. Jesus was walking with Peter, and he says, Peter, you're going to deny me. And what did Peter say?
Thou shalt never deny you.
He's never going to deny me. And what did Jesus say? He said, I'm going to pray that your faith fails you not. I wonder today if there are those among us, your faith is about shot. Do you need, and I've been praying, I went through the prayer list last night. I didn't get all the way through, but I went through my prayer list last night. And I prayed, God, strengthen their faith, that it die not. Strengthen their faith, Lord. I pray for Rod, strengthen his faith, Lord, in Jesus' name. I'm the guy in the hot seat around here. Amen. I've got to have concern for souls. Praise God. Thank you. Strengthen that which is remains. I have not found your works complete in the sight of my God. Now hold on right there, because you got people that sit there and say, well, I don't need any works, because the Bible says, by grace are you saved, that through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. Well, you don't do works to be saved, but because you're saved, you will do works because of the Spirit of God inside you. That's what folks don't grasp. I don't get it. How can you think that you're going to live for Jesus and the devil at the same time? Doesn't the Bible tell us that you cannot serve two masters? Isn't that what happened on Mount Carmel when Elijah talked to the prophets of Baal? He said, how long are you going to stake between two masters here? You've got to make up your mind. If the Lord is God, serve Him. If the devil is God, serve Him. Don't give me that cop out. Jesus accepts me any way that I am. He came and He says He's come to save you from. Everybody say from. From your sins, not in. Read the Scripture. Go to the next slide if you would, Brother Tile. Remember then that what thou hast received and heard, and keep it and repent. You know, I got a problem. I get aggravated sometimes. You know why I get aggravated? So I don't show it that much. But I get aggravated sometimes. There's things, sometimes God gives a great word here. And what do? We forget about it. We forget about it. When God gives you a word, you need to remember that word. Amen. Sometimes I feel like, what am I doing, Lord? Am I just an entertainer? Isn't that what people come to church for sometimes? They want to see a show. They want to see the preacher stomp. Maybe they want to see him snort. Maybe they want to see the beautiful purple robes and the beautiful, what do they call that, ritual. Or they want to see you get down, juke and jive Pentecostal church. Well, you can have the get down, juke and jive, and everybody thinks, man, they got something going on, when really they're about to die. Oh, Lord. It's awful quiet. Let me move on. Let me see what time it is. Oh, I can preach till midnight. It's all right. Let me go to the next slide, which is Jeremiah 3:20 or 2:32. I believe it is where the tie up. Jeremiah 2:32. It's in those slides. Some of us would be so angry with God, or some of us would be so angry with our spouse. Now, Rod wouldn't know anything about this because he's not married. But if you're married, your wife expects some attention from you, right? Well, you don't know because you're not married, but that's what happens. That's why the Bible says if you're single, it's okay. But if you're married, then you kind of live for the other person too. And some of us would be so angry with our spouse if they treated us the way we treat God. Ooh. Ooh. Did you feel that? Did you feel that? Ooh. Ooh. Can a virgin forget her ornaments? Can a bride her attire? My wife will never forget the day we got married. My daughter, I'm sure, will never forget her wedding day. And yet my people, the scripture says, have forgotten me days without number. This is what causes divorce. You don't pay attention to your spouse, sooner or later they get mad at you. But God is so much better than a spouse, isn't he? You can't change the past. I hate to tell you this. Your failures will always be with you forever. You won't forget the time you failed God and went out and drank something you shouldn't have drank. Or did something you shouldn't have done. You'll never forget that. And people don't understand that about Christians. They say, well, you're just acting holier than thou. No, not really. There should come a time when you grow up and you put childish things aside, the scripture says. But if you fall, there is an answer for that. And it's not to say, I might as well just give up and go out and be lost. The answer is repentance. And sometimes we struggle with things. Then we finally overcome. And you may do some things in front of people and they look at you and they say, some Christian you are. And you'll never forget that. You'll never forget your failures. But you have to keep moving. Amen. Go to the scripture about Noah. Genesis 9, 12 through 17. Actually, go to the next slide after that. Genesis 9, 20 and 21, because I want to move on. You know, the scripture talks about Noah got off the ark, God made a covenant, the world had just gotten judged, and man, I think that if that happened to me, don't you think that you would never make a mistake again? That you would never sin again? Really? I mean, you've been through it. You watched Aunt Freddie die. She just drowned. Say, let me in the ark! I didn't think you were right, but you're right! They saw the world which was then perish. You may say, well, you really believe in that? Sure, why not? I've got archaeological proof. I need to break out some of them DVDs and put back there to let you take home. But what did Noah start to do? He started to get full of himself. He started to become a backslider in heart. He began to be a man of the soil, planted a vineyard, drank of the wine, became drunk. Noah, the great guy. Noah, the best guy there. Why is alcohol such a temptation? The scripture says, wine is a mocker and strong drink is raging. He who is deceived thereby is not wise. But whatever your failures may be, whether it be alcohol, drugs, infidelity, greed, pride, lust, the scripture talks about other things. There's many things that can take us away from the Lord. You've got to come to the place also where you understand that you cannot change the past, but you can keep pressing on. You can keep trying to break through. You can keep moving forward. And I wonder if somebody would go get my wife. Becky, maybe go get Mom and tell her to come out, please. And if she needs some help back there, maybe somebody could go help my wife. The past is always going to be there. The past is always going to haunt you a little bit. But you can't let the past get you down. Amen. You can say, I may not have been what I should have been, but in 2014, I'm going to leave what I was behind. It's not what the scripture said, forgetting the things which were behind you. forgetting the failures that you did, forgetting the sins and putting them under the blood, forgetting your carnality and saying, Lord, help me to put on your spirit, God. Help me to put on your power and help me to put on your anointing, Lord. And be different. And when I preach a New Year's message in 2015, if we're still here by the grace of God, you say, what do you mean if we're still here? Who knows if the rapture will happen this year? Who knows if I'll be alive this year? Honestly, we don't know. When do car accidents happen? Twinkling of an eye. Sure, they're rare, but they still happen. Airplanes come out of the sky, kill people in houses. Very rare, very rare, but it still happens. People get cancer, a little bit less rare, still happens. My goal is to be here in 2015 unless the Lord comes. But as I preach next, the first Sunday of 2015, what is going to be your progress? What do you hope for the future? Do you hope to be closer to God? Do you hope to be a man of God? Do you hope to be a woman of God? I know you ladies don't want to be a man, and I don't want you to be a man. Don't laugh too hard. But when 2014 closes out, and we're going to have a little talk, because I don't think they're having watch night services anymore here, so we may be able to do a watch night service this year. If I'd have known it, we might have talked about it a little earlier, but nobody told me. But when we come up to that last time, that last hour of 2004, the last second, and we say, Happy New Year! Will you feel condemnation or will you feel joy? Will you feel joy and feeling like the Lord said, you know what? You made some strides this year. You're not going to be perfect. But you don't have to be what you are today. Let's all stand. Amen. Before we take communion, we're going to do it backwards. Our custom is, when the preaching is through, to find a place to pray. Why don't you come and talk to the Lord about 2014? Why don't you find a place to bend your knee? Come and step out of your pew. Come and ask Him to cover you with His presence and His power. Come on, step out. And talk to Him about what He wants for you in 2014. We're going to sing and worship a little bit. Jesus.